Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to celebrate this Easter season and do it in part by diving into the Word of God, this living Word that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right down to the core of our being. It says the bone and marrow, and it manifests the intentions of the heart. There's nothing like the Word of God that can make it possible for us to understand the deepest realities in the heart, which is what? The seat of decision, the place in which, where we meet God, but also the deep part of us where we battle with things like our identity, the sin sickness that's in the human heart. There's mysteries in us, and the Lord comes in His Word to open up and to shine light into the heart, to help us understand who we are. And what's so beautiful, and what we've been hearing in the Gospels the last few days from John in that beautiful Last Supper discourse, the church walks us through again as we make our way to celebrate the Ascension and ultimately Pentecost, this beautiful season. Monday's reading, Jesus said, "Whoever loves me will keep my word." So we talked about the importance of how, from the kingdom's perspective, love is directed to obedience. And just yesterday, John 14, the beautiful gospel reading was Jesus. He prepares the apostles for what is about to happen, and that is his passion and death. And he tells them basically, the devil's the one that's bringing this about, but he's not in charge. I'm in charge. So he wants them to be secure. He told them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. It's good for us to be able to be honest with ourselves and ask the question, how often is my heart troubled and afraid? I think that's the normal condition of the human heart, actually, in a fallen world. A fleshly heart living in a fallen world that resists God and is filled with troubles. And then the lies and deceptions and the attacks of the devil. It brings about fear, sometimes even terror, but troubled heart is not that unusual, especially in difficult moments like the one Jesus is saying he's about to enter into. It's disrupting them. And he said, look, listen, make a decision. Trust my word. Trust me. Don't just trust your eyes. Trust me. Because what he's saying is, he's going to the cross. He said, the reason I'm going is not because the devil is in control. He said, I'm going there. As I ended yesterday's program yesterday, saying this is on the cross, Jesus said, he's communicating something to all of us. I do everything the Father commands me to do. Why? Because he's afraid of the Father? Because the Father is a mean taskmaster? Because why? No. Because I love the Father. Well, wait a minute. How can that be? I mean, why would a loving father allow his son to be crucified and so brutally beaten? What? And how could Jesus trust a father like that? Two things. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, knows the Father. He knows the nature of the spiritual battle. He knows what needs to be dealt with, and that's the human sin problem, the pride of man that comes from the pride of demonic powers, the resistance to God starting in the garden that believes a lie. That is God trustworthy? No. He would never hold back. I want to eat from that tree. Maybe the devil's right. He doesn't want me to eat from the tree because he doesn't want me to be great. So I don't trust him. So I'm reaching for the apple, so to speak. Jesus is reversing all that. He's saying, look at Jesus on the cross, the most horrible thing that's ever happened. It's the most horrific death almost you could possibly imagine. And he's there. And why is he there? Because the devil's stronger than him? No. Because Jesus loves the Father. And what does love in the kingdom look like? We can't hear this enough, friends. It's humility and obedience. Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, death on a cross, and therefore God has highly exalted him, gave him the name above every name. The kingdom, the glory, the power all belongs to Jesus. He trusted the Father to the end. And that's life, and that's what love looks like. Obedience to the Father and to the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promised, John 14, we read it again yesterday, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and the Father will love you if you do that. And we're going to send you the Holy Spirit. We're going to come and dwell in you, he said. I'll just read it. He said, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. The Father loves it when we love the Son, and the Son loves it when we love the Father. The whole journey we're on, friends, is being brought into the love from all eternity between the Father and the Son. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's so beautiful. And so this is what Jesus is saying. If you love me, the Father will love you. If you love the Father, I will love you. We want you to be in this love. This is what you were made for. And you can't do it on your own, by your own flesh. Jesus has to die on the cross to break the powers of the world of flesh and the devil, to bring down that regime of darkness that enslaves the human heart and seduces us into lie after lie and deception, which at the end of the day just takes us deeper into that dark hole of fear and isolation and being alone. And Jesus is shining light in there, and he's drawing us out, and he says, I'm going to give you. Now, here's the line. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, come to her, and make our dwelling in her, and with her, and in him, and with him. He's not just handing us a book. He's not just handing us the tablets. He's fulfilled all of that in his Son, in the Holy Spirit. And now he's going to come and live in us because we need to become a new creation. This is so important. And this is a truth, friends, that the devil works overtime to steal this from us, to externalize everything, that just keep Christianity at a level of external commandments and a distant God who's tapping his foot, sitting on his throne, tapping his foot, looking down, and especially looking at you, and just kind of shaking his head like, is she ever going to learn? Is he ever going to learn? And then we ask the question, what does God, the Father, really think about us? What does he really think about you? When he thinks about you, is he mostly sad or is he mostly glad? How often is our lived experience in terms of our emotions and our way of life like, well, he's probably disappointed. I guess he has to love me, but yeah, I don't think in his eyes, he's too happy about what he sees. Very, just the same old lie of the devil. What brought him down is the Son of God living in the kingdom of God, bringing the power of the kingdom expressed at its core in total love between the Father and the Son, and a love that went all the way to the cross and destroyed the deceptive lies. He becomes an offering for sin. He blots out our guilt. He brings down the power of the devil, and he makes it possible for us now to have a way to come near to God, to be able to be holy children of God. That's what the devil wants to steal from you. Oh, maybe other people are there. Yeah, maybe the apostles, maybe some of these saints, but not you, because you're manifestly weak and sinful, and he stands at the door, that is the devil, every morning, and he deploys his demons to come and lie to you day and night, fill you with guilt, fill you with shame, fill you with condemnation, to steal whatever joy has been promised to you. That's why St. Paul has to remind, even right there in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, he said. Do you not know that Jesus is in you? Do you know that, friends? Christianity is a new life lived in communion, union with God the Father, God the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the very essence of Christianity. This is what the devil comes to steal. It's why he wants you to keep away from prayer, good habits of prayer, to keep you away from the sacraments, which are these conduits of grace that continue to strengthen us in believing and understanding and knowing that he dwells within us. These attacks, day and night, he comes after. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's coming to steal what's yours. Your sonship, your daughterhood, your dignity as a child of God, your living. Here's another passage. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Paul's reminding them people were giving themselves over to prostitution and sin and things like that with their bodies. And he said, no, your body's sacred. Why? Why is it sacred? Because God has come to dwell in you. His great act of salvation has begun in your life. John 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? Friends, every day, let's remind each other, help each other, let's pray for each other to begin each day remembering this fundamental truth. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within me. This reality comes from God, my Father, and Jesus, my brother and Lord. And then Paul says the next line, you are not your own. You are not your own. You belong to him now. So beautiful. Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, that's all the non-Jews in the world, but this also includes Jewish people who've come to know the Lord, the rest. It says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is this glorious mystery? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the only reason any human being can have true hope, lasting hope, life-transforming hope. Because our condition can only be changed by the power of God. It's supernatural. And it comes through the act of love by which all of us have been saved, the act of love that's brought down the kingdom of darkness forever. Love conquers. Love wins. You know, in the world, that's a very trite line. But this love, the love of Jesus Christ, is what wins and conquers. There's no other. And then that love given to us in the Holy Spirit is poured out. And it's so beautiful. So beautiful. God is good, friends. We need to celebrate. Lord, we just want to stop for a minute here at the end of the program and give you thanks. And we welcome the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are indeed temples of the living God. And in Jesus' name, we pray for the grace for every person listening today to believe it, to live in it, and to come to appreciate one's own glory. That is the glory that we've been given, Christ in us, the hope of glory. What a gift, friends. Let's live in it, walk in it, and share it with others. Have a blessed day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes scripture, catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.